Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll be reading two verses 16 and 17. Just getting familiar with your Bible, it's in the New Testament. Come to Matthew, then Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 and 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. I'll read verse number 16, if you'll then join with me on verse number 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning verse number 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And let's pray this morning. God, again, a time we come and have the opportunity to open up this good book. I do pray this morning that be with our preacher as he brings the message. Lord, pour that fresh oil upon him. Anoint him with the power, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray we'd have the opening ears and hearts to listen to what you have specifically for us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
I now can sing since I've been redeemed. I'm on the everlasting rock. My faith in Christ, my Redeemer King. I'm on the everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll. Everlasting rock. The storms may rage and the billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. No earthly storm e'er can move my soul. I'm on the everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. Everlasting rock of ages, roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. I am secure, for my faith will hold. I'm on the everlasting rock. My life he doth with his love enfold. I'm on the everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. I'm on the everlasting rock.
That's a blessing. Amen. Enjoyed that. Getting a little older, but the voices aren't gone. The voices are hanging around. Some of the hair is, but the voices are not. Amen. That's all right. It's going to turn gray or turn loose, one or the other, right? So, no doubt about it. Thank you, fellas, that love these men and thank God for them. That's a blessing. I want to take just a minute. I meant to do this earlier. Austin and Melissa, would you all stand up just for a minute if you don't embarrass you? But this, if you were not here Wednesday night, this couple got baptized Wednesday night. This is Scott and Debbie Netterville's nephew and now his wife. They were married on Thursday. So you got Austin and Melissa Billadue. How about giving them a big hand this morning? God bless you. We're glad that they're here. Thank you. I wanted to be sure and introduce them to you if you did not meet them on Wednesday night. Be sure and shake hands with them. Scott and Debbie were here just for one service. They were in Wednesday. They got in Tuesday afternoon. They were here Wednesday, Thursday, took off Friday morning. He's preaching a revival down in outside of Springfield this morning, actually, not too far from Brother Marty Montgomery down there. So I just wanted to mention that this morning before I forgot I meant to earlier. And that great verse, verse number 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to speak to you on this subject today, before and after. Before and after. Let's pray together. Father, we're glad today to be in church. I love being with these people, and I'm thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to spend these moments with them. But all would be vain unless you come and meet with us in this service. So I pray that you'll be here in power. Lord, quicken our minds again. It's a difficult weekend for some with the time change. But Lord, help us. Help us to concentrate. And Lord, if your Spirit moves in our midst, speaks to our hearts, it sure will help us. Meet the need of every person here today. I pray in Christ's name and for His sake. And amen. You see a lot of advertisements that use before and after as their selling point. Usually it's along the lines of weight loss or sometimes hair color or sometimes possibly skin care. And you look at the pictures before and after and you think to yourself, man, is that really accurate? Does that really work like that? And, you know, that's kind of what you think when you see those pictures. Before and after. The staff men and I have prayer meeting every Wednesday morning at 7:30. Whoever's in town, if I'm out returning from a speaking trip, they meet without me. If one of them has been somewhere, whoever's in town at 7:30 on Wednesday morning, we get together and have staff men's prayer meeting. We were getting ready to pray this past Wednesday. We pray. This started in 09 when so many guys lost their jobs, and we met specifically for the purpose of praying for work. And we still pray for some of you men to get work, okay? And then we pray for health needs. And I want to say it's good to see Mary Miracle. We've been praying for you, Mary. Good to see her back with us this morning. And we pray for health needs. We pray for new people in the church. And we pray for about 20 minutes. We take prayer requests and we pray together as a group of men. So this past Wednesday, before we started getting the requests together, we were talking about Yard Mart. Of course, that was on everybody's brain, you know. And somebody brought up the subject of those, you know, what can we do about people stealing? Because believe it or not, even at a church yard sale, you still got people that are stealing. You'd be surprised sometimes who it is. You really will. All these teenagers. No, a lot of times it's the little old ladies with their purses, you know, and they're slipping things in there. But anyway, somebody said, well, now that we've got security cameras up, we should be able to maybe put a sign up that says, building under surveillance, room under surveillance. And by the way, folks, we're not trying to become, you see the security cameras in the other building and this building. We're trying just our best to do humanly what we can to keep everybody safe here. You know, ultimately, we know the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. We know that. You know, God keeps us safe. But we have some of this. We've upgraded and got some security cameras. And we have people. Some of you say, well, man, so-and-so used to sit here. And they're sitting. We got certain people sitting in certain parts of the auditorium for a reason, for a purpose. Just in case there's ever a situation, we're trying to take every precaution we can. It's not because we don't trust you, okay? It says we want to be prepared if we ever have a situation. And Lord willing, we won't. But anyway, one of the fellows said, well, now that the security camera's in the gym, maybe we should put the sign up that says, room under surveillance. And somebody said, yeah, but does that really work? And Abraham, Brother Cardenas, without hesitation said, well, it stopped me. I thought, when was this? Last year or 2 years ago? For those of you folks that don't know, Brother Cardenas is our Spanish pastor, and they're meeting upstairs. We have, and part of security is we have four men out of this service right now who are, walking the halls in this building and that building while we're in the building just to try to keep everybody safe, okay, for people coming and going. But anyway, he said it stopped me. We all looked at him like, what are you talking about? And he said, before I got, he didn't get saved until he was age 14. He said, I used to steal. And growing up in Mexico, he said, I used to steal. And he said, then I got saved. He said, when I go into a room, if there was a sign that said, room under surveillance, I wouldn't steal. Well, you got to give him credit for that. Amen. So he went, got to be smart. And so he didn't steal. But he said, after I got saved, of course, I don't steal anymore. That was comforting to know that our pastor doesn't steal anymore, Spanish pastor. So, you know, but seriously, and I listened to him, and it just stuck in my mind. And then we went to prayer, and in fact, he was my partner Wednesday morning. He and I were praying together, and we prayed together. And I was thinking, as he was praying, I was just thinking about what he said, how that, you know, up to age 14, he was a thief, and then he got saved, and his life changed. And that great verse, number 17, came to my mind. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I was not only thinking about Brother Abraham, but I was thinking about how many thousands of people would have that same testimony. They would say something like this: before I got saved, I did this. Before I got saved, I was this. But after I got saved, I was a different person. Before and after. Before and after. I memorized this verse in October of 1975. That's when I landed at Shepherd Lane's Boys Ranch in Pikeville, Tennessee, as an 18-year-old whose life was a wreck, a life totally wrecked. And I won't go into all the details because I'm ashamed of those things, ashamed of them. But you can imagine a boy growing up in the early 70s and what it was like in our country in that time, that era of time, and things that I was involved in. My life was a wreck. And I went to this, sit to this boy's home, sit there. And one of the first things that Mike required every boy to do was memorize 2 Corinthians 5:17. So we had to memorize it. So I memorized it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I memorized that verse, but listen, it wasn't until a couple weeks later that I experienced the reality of that verse. The reality. You know, folks, listen, it's one thing to know the theory of a verse. It's something altogether different to know the experience of it. Y'all with me? It's one thing to know the theory of it. Yeah, I know what that says. Okay, I know what it says. But have you experienced it? Have you lived it? Have you had it take place in your life? And that's what Paul said. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. After being under conviction on a Wednesday afternoon, I went to church that night, and the preacher preached a message that God had given him. I was on the third pew, right where Brother John McAdoo was sitting this morning, in that little church in Graysville, Tennessee. And he gave the invitation. I left my seat. I bowed on my knee at the altar. More importantly, I bowed in my heart and gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ to become my personal Savior. And friend, at that moment, this verse was no longer theory. This verse became real to me. I became a new creature. A new creature. A new creature. Before and after. Before and after. This whole chapter is a tremendous chapter. I won't have time to go through every verse in it. In verses 1 through 8, Paul talks a little bit about what a saved person experiences after death and how that comforts us and helps us now. That great verse, number 8, he said, "Where we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And that's the truth, friend. If you're a saved, born-again child of God, as soon as life leaves this body, you will enter the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then in verses 9 through 11, we learn about the judgment seat of Christ. All saved people will stand there someday. Look at verse number 10, where Paul said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment for sin. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment for our works after we get saved. And that's what that verse is talking about. And then verses 12 through 15, Paul speaks of the supreme motivation in his life to serve God. And that is Christ's love. Look at verse 14. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Paul said, Christ's love motivates me. His love arrests me. Constraineth means to arrest. He said, God's love, Christ's love, just arrest me. And then you got, of course, down at verse number 20, that great verse when Paul finishes the chapter talking about the ministry of saved people as ambassadors. And he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. But I'm not going to preach about those this morning. I'm going to stick to verse number 17. I want you to see it again. There are two news in verse 17. Do you see it there? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it's those two news that I want to talk to you about this morning, and then we'll be done. First of all, I want you to see that this, the way to become a new creature. The way to become a new creature. Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, let me begin by saying this. The word man here is used for mankind. This is not talking about just the male gender. This is talking about mankind. Men, women, young adults, old adults, middle-aged adults, teenagers, children. Any person can become a new creature. And the way to become a new creature is found in those words, if any man be in Christ. In Christ. That's the question this morning. Are you in Christ? I know you're in church this morning, but listen, you could spend a lifetime going to church and still never be in Christ. Are you in Christ this morning? Let me explain it this way. Everybody in this room is in the family of Adam. Everybody in this room is in the family. It doesn't matter what we call your race. Whether you're a Hispanic or black or white or American Indian or Asian. No. Every person in this room, every person on this property this morning, those in the Spanish service, those in the teen church, those over in the junior church, Sunday school classes right now, everybody on this property is a member of the family of Adam. That's because Adam was the first man and Eve was his wife. And they bore children, and those children bore children, and those children bore children. And here we sit in 2016. All of us can trace our lineage back to Adam and Eve. We're all members of the family of Adam. Now, you know what that means? I got some bad news for you, first of all. Being a member of the family of Adam means that we're all sinners. Because Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world. You remember the story? God creates Adam, gives him Eve for his wife, puts him in the Garden of Eden. Adam was already there when they got married to Eve. Has him in the Garden of Eden, gives him some work to do. And Adam and Eve sin. They break the one commandment that God gave them. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree. Eat of all the other trees, but not that one. And they sinned against God. And when they disobeyed God, they developed a sin nature. Their sin moved in their body, if you will. And they had a sin nature. So when they gave birth to their boys, Cain and Abel had sin natures. You see that in the life of Cain. He murdered his brother. And then on and on it goes. And so the Bible teaches us that everyone who is a descendant of Adam has a sin nature because Adam and Eve passed that sin nature on to their children. Every person, no matter who, man, woman, boy, or girl, every person born into this world is part of the family of Adam. And so many things are true about us because we're in Adam's family. We are sinners. I've already said that, Romans 5:12. But it gets worse. Romans 5:15 says, because of Adam's sin, we're all dead spiritually to God. Everybody born into this world is dead spiritually to God. You know, you've heard people say, all my life I've been a Christian. All my life I've been saved. All my life. Folks, that's impossible. When you're born into this world, you are born dead to God. You're dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead to God. And that's because Adam sinned. And then it gets worse. Romans 5:16 says, because of Adam's sin, we are all found guilty and condemned to spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God forever, all because of one man's sin. I don't know if you were ever in a situation at school or some other place where the misbehavior of one classmate cost the whole class privilege. Usually it was on a spring day, and you're sitting there at the desk and you're looking out the window and the sun is shining brightly and the grass is greening up and your legs ache. Did your legs ever ache in class? Did your legs ever ache in church as a little boy or a little girl? Your leg, I guess, growing pains. And you're sitting there and you know that recess is just around the corner and everybody's a little bit antsy. Everybody has cabin fever from maybe a long winter and you just can't wait to get outside and enjoy the spring air, the fresh air, the sunshine. And there's people... And the teacher says, if one more person whispers, the whole recess is going to be canceled. And then some egghead, some goofball at the back of the class says, she doesn't mean that. And boy, she hears that. That's it. Recess is canceled. All because of one person. How would you like to be Adam? How would you like to be Adam? Because of Adam's sin, we're all sinners. Because of Adam's sin, we are all born dead to God. And because of Adam's sin, we're all destined to be separated from God forever in the place that God calls in the Bible the lake of fire or hell. How would you like to be Adam? You say, well, I'm glad it was. Friend, you know what? The honest truth of the matter is, if it hadn't been Adam and Eve, it would have been whoever else it was. Human nature. Disobedient to God. Here we are all descendants of Adam. We're all members of Adam's family. We're sinners. We're spiritually dead to God. We're condemned to be separated from God forever in hell. Now, that's the bad news. Here is the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to this earth from heaven. Sometimes you'll read in the Bible about the second Adam. And when you read that phrase, the last Adam. The last Adam. You say, what do you mean the last Adam? That's talking about Jesus Christ. That's another term for Jesus. He left heaven. He came to this earth in a human body. You know, he was born there in Bethlehem's manger. He lived for 33 and a half years. He never sinned. He had no sin in him. He was the perfect, holy, righteous, pure Son of God. Never sinned. Never even close to it. And then he went to that old rugged cross and he took my sin and your sin to that cross and he bore it there in his own body upon the tree, and he died to pay for our sin debt. And when he died, they took his body off that cross and put him in that tomb. And for 3 days and 3 nights, that body lay there lifeless. And then after that, friend, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. We'll celebrate Easter Sunday in a couple weeks. That's what Jesus did to make it possible for you and me. Now watch it. This is crucial. That's what Jesus did to make it possible for you and me to be born again into God's family. Because the first time we're born into Adam's family. The physical family of Adam. That's why Jesus said 3 times in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. You've been born to the family of Adam. Now you need to be born to the family of God. You need to be born to the family of God. Everybody in this room is a member of Adam's family. But the question is, are you a member of God's family? Are you a member of God's family? And the only way to become a member of God's family is through Jesus Christ. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have to realize that you're lost without God and that Jesus came to die in your place and He went to the cross, was buried, rose again to purchase salvation for you. And it's putting your faith and trust in Him to take you to heaven when you die, to pay your sin debt. And that's what births you into the family of God. Listen to these same verses. In Romans 5:15, the Bible says that because of Adam's sin, we all were all born dead to God. But Romans 5:15 goes on to say that Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ died, salvation is a free gift to everybody. Romans 5:16 tells us that because Jesus Christ died, we can be forgiven of all of our sins. And Romans 5:17 tells us because Christ Jesus died, we can all be a new creature with a new life. But it's only in Christ. It's only in Christ. John 14:6, Jesus answered a question. Thomas said, Lord, where are you going? How can we know the way? Jesus told him he's going back to heaven. And the Lord responded by saying this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way. There's only one way to heaven, folks. There's only one way to be a new creature, and that's in Christ. That is in Jesus Christ. Now listen, I don't know everybody's background in this room. Some of you are newer to our church than others. We have visitors this morning. It's not my responsibility to make a judgment on your salvation. There's only one person that I can know for sure is saved, and that's me. And there's only one person that you can know for sure is saved, and that's you. So it's not mine to pass judgment, but it is my responsibility to preach the Bible to you. And I don't know your backgrounds. I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. A lot of churches don't preach the new birth and the need for it. And a lot of preachers, it's more of a social gospel and a good feel and make everybody feel you know, warm and fuzzy about their eternal destiny. And, you know, God is this great old grandpa up in the sky who would never, ever send anybody to hell. But I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, listen very carefully. I'm not dissing your old church. I'm not saying your background was all wrong and out of shape. But I am just going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that every person that comes into this world is born to the family of Adam. If that's all that ever happens to you, you're going to spend eternity apart from God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and don't convince yourself. I said, well, yeah, but I believe in Jesus. The devils believe in Jesus. When Jesus was conducting His earthly ministry here, He would heal people and do magnificent things. You know the stories found in the Gospels. When you read the Gospels, you'll also find out that people who were demon-possessed came to speak to Jesus, and those demons would speak out of them, and the voices of those demons would be heard. And every time those demons addressed Jesus Christ, they addressed Him as the Holy One of God. They knew who He was. But the demons and devils aren't going to heaven. It's not enough to have a mental belief in God. It's not enough to have a myth. This is what I'm talking about. Theory. Theory as opposed to experience. Theory as opposed to experience. Well, I know about God, and I know there's a heaven, and I know that Jesus died. Okay, you know the theory of all that, but have you ever experienced the new birth? The new birth. You know, this is what happened to me. And when I'm talking about that verse, it's at that boys' home in that church service on that Sunday night. And I'll be honest with you, folks, it got so heavy on my heart. You say, well, weren't you a little bit embarrassed? I didn't think about it. It embarrassed me at all. I wasn't going to let, by the grace of God, let a little pride keep me from getting saved. No, sir. You're talking about eternity. Forever and ever. And I'm simply saying this morning, you know, this verse came, it just not didn't come alive to me, but I was reminded of again this week when I hear Pastor Cardenas talk about the fact that, you know, yeah, before I got saved, this verse came, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's only one way to become a new creature, and that is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I ask you again this morning, are you in Christ? Do you know the verse in your head, or have you experienced it in your heart? Have you? That's how you become the way to become a new creature. Now, let me finish this morning by saying number two, what happens because we are a new creature? What happens because we're a new creature? Well, look at the end of the verse. Look at what Paul said there. He said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Remember the story of Brother Cardenas? He said, before I was saved, if I saw the sign, I wouldn't steal. But after I got saved, that means his behavior was different after he got saved. And that's what Paul said many times. Paul said this. You and I know Paul as the great apostle, the great missionary. But you know what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:13? He said, before he was saved, he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. And once again, I draw your attention to that word before. 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 How many times has that word been used? By how many people? Before I got saved, I was a thief. Before I got saved, I was a drunk. Before I got saved, I was a gangbanger. Before I got saved, I was dead to God. I was dead to God in God's Word and God's things. Ah, but friend, when you get saved, you become a new creature. And when you're a new creature, you become alive. All things are new. You say, I don't understand that. Yes, you do. Think about it. We understand what things becoming new. Think about how much is new to a newborn physical baby. Think about how much is new. They experience birth. Light is new. You see them come out of the womb and they're blinking. And light is new. They roll over. They sit up. They start to chew. All of that's new. Never done it before. It's all new. They start getting teeth. It's all new. You know, I love, it's been my practice since I think I've batted 100% so far, but I may have missed a couple of the girls in Madagascar. But I think I told you this before. It's been my practice and my joy. I take it as a solemn responsibility and duty to make sure that all the grandkids get a taste of ice cream very early in life. Early in life. It's my solemn responsibility as a pawpaw. A few days ago, Leah and Pete went away for a day, and they call and give the old mom, dad, you know, we don't want to impose, but do you think you could watch Marcus? Do we think we could watch Marcus? Let's see here. Yes, okay, we can watch Marcus. And so we bring him home from the college on Thursday. We got Marcus with us. He's 5 months old. He's sitting in the high chair in the kitchen there. And Joyce is feeding him all this stuff, these pureed sweet potatoes of all things, friend. And I mean all this stuff and the peas pureed. And you know that poor kid, he's sitting there, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you just wait, buddy. You just wait. And so he finished his rabbit food. And I got the ice cream out. And I think she said something like, Terry, he's only 5 months. I might have said, yeah, a couple months late, but that's all right. We'll get it. A couple months late. Here we go. So I got the little spoon, you know, dipped it in that ice. It was vanilla ice cream. And I put that up to his little lips, you know, and mouth. That little tongue opened up. He thought he was getting another bite of peas. Sweet potatoes, man. And I tell you, the initial look on his face was like, and then all of a sudden the eyes just go, bing. Are you with me? You know, and he's like this, you know, his head starts shaking, you know, and looking for that spoon again, right? Man, that's called new. Right? It's every pawpaw's responsibility. Y'all taking notes. You new pawpaws out there. Every grandpa's responsibility. Yeah, that first little bite of ice cream. But it was new. It's just like, and the honest truth of the matter, friend, listen. That's what happens to a person concerning the things of God when you get saved. It's new. The Bible's new. It's like, whoa. You know, before I got saved, I'm embarrassed to say this. I'm ashamed to say it, but this was the most boring book in the world to me. Before I got saved. But after I got saved, it's like, whoa. It was new. And then not only that, but prayer and church services and living right. I was a new creature. I lived by new principles and new companions and new relationships. And it was all new. And I was 18 years of age, but it was like a new life. And that's exactly what it is. It's a spiritual birth. Now, you don't belong just to the family of Adam. You belong to the family of Adam and the family of God. When you belong to the family of God, it's like, wow, man. Now, I'm not saying there'll never be any difficult times. I'm not saying you won't have a problem and backslide. Some people have had tough times after they got saved. I backslid. I had a crash and burn. I've told that story so many times. I'm not going to repeat it again this morning. I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect, but I'll tell you this. The worst thing in the world, the most difficult thing in the world is to try to enjoy the things of God if you're not a member of the family. But when you get saved, when you get in Christ, boom. All things, I'm not making this up. This is what Paul, the Word of God says. All things are become new. Wow. Are you in Christ? And the greatest thing about it, you know, you're new to this. The Bible's new. Church is new. The songs are new. But the one of the very best is we got a new destiny. You know, now we were once headed to hell. Now we're headed to heaven. And once we were headed to, you know, to an eternity of punishment, now we're headed to an eternity of glory. And once we're headed to an eternity without God, now we're headed to an eternity with God. And I just, it's amazing sometimes what God does to a pastor to give him a message for people. And I teach this at the college, and I teach the subject of homiletics, and I teach seed thoughts, and I teach the fellows what to do with a seed thought. And I teach it. I say, sometimes you get seed thoughts just through the experiences of life. And who, you know, I didn't know that on Sunday morning, March 13th, 2016, God would have me preach on this verse until last Wednesday morning when Abraham Cardenas just said, "Work for me." You're a thief? I was. Then I got saved. Now listen very carefully. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't think I have to be worried because I don't know about this saved thing, but I'm not a thief." Listen. Our Bible says, if we have offended God in one point, we are guilty of all. So don't use that. That won't fly. If you ever told one lie, you're guilty of all. That's what God's Word teaches. You're born of the family of Adam. Are you in Christ? Have you been born into God's family? Through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And once you get saved, your life will become, it'll be new. A new creature. And there's things that you got to do. I don't have time to preach that this morning. But the book says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's before and after. Before and after. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, would you please take the message today that was preached from your book and use it in the hearts and lives of people in this room. That's my prayer this morning. I can only speak to the ears, God, but I know you can speak to hearts. So please, take the word and speak to hearts even now. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and no one's looking. Please, give me your ear just for a moment. We'll soon be done. I wonder this morning, sitting in the room during the message, if the Spirit of God touched your heart. You say, you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I really don't know if I'm in Christ or not. I really don't know. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I've been in church, but I don't know if I'm in Christ. Is God speaking to you this morning? I believe God had this message for a purpose. Now, I don't know the purpose. We may know the purpose today. We may know the purpose next week or down the road in time. But I know I preached exactly what God put on my heart to preach this morning. So, friend, let me ask you, are you in Christ today? Not are you in church, not are you in America, not have you been in a baptismal tank or pool, have you trusted Christ, are you in Christ? How many would say honestly before God this morning, that's all I ask you to do is be honest before God. I ask you please don't respond by what your neighbor does or your person sitting next to you in the pew or your parent or your child or whatever. Are you saved? Who would say, Pastor, I know I am in Christ this morning. I'm saved and I know it. Now look, please be honest before God. Would you slip your hand up if that's you this morning? And please be honest about it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here who would say, Pastor, I was honest. I didn't raise my hand because I don't know if I'm in Christ. I don't know that I'm eternally bound for heaven. I didn't raise my hand just a moment ago. I was honest because I don't know. Would you slip your hand up, please? Would you just slip it up? Where I can see it, take it right back down. Anybody in the room this morning like that? I'm not sure I was saved. That was, a moment ago, most of the hands went up, but I just saw maybe three or four around the room that didn't. Maybe you didn't understand the question. Maybe you'd rather not respond. That's okay. But friend, I just want to tell you, if you don't know for sure that you're in Christ, please don't let the opportunity pass. Today, during an invitation, we can take the Bible and show you how to be saved and know for sure that that matter is settled in your heart. We have men that can speak to men and boys and young men. We have ladies that can speak to women and young women, girls. We can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Don't leave today without knowing for sure that you're saved. Now, if you've been saved, you know you're saved, you need to be baptized. Be obedient to Christ. Take care of that matter. Be obedient to the Lord. You can come this morning and tell one of these men that you need to be baptized. We'll set up a time to talk to you, even about church membership, whatever the need is. But my main thought this morning is, are you in Christ? Boy, once you get in Christ, all things become new. Trust me, it's what the Word of God says. It's true. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that You'll speak to the heart that needs it the most today. You said, Jesus, if You're lifted up, You draw all men to Yourself. So I've tried to lift You up this morning and the work that You did so that we could be saved. And Father, I pray now that You draw all folks to Christ. Help someone this morning who needs to be saved to take care of that matter, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody is looking. I'm going to ask the ladies to play a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Would you just step out like I did some 40 years ago and come here and let these men take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? I would beg you to do that, please. Would love to have the opportunity to show you how to be saved this morning. And if you're not sure, now's the time. This is the place. Before and after. Family of Adam, family of God. If all you are is in the family of Adam, would you come this morning and trust Christ and be saved? While we wait, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.